health, philanthropic, and medical missionary work. Need of opportunity for Christian culture. God is over all, but forgetting Him, we forsake the pure snow of Lebanon for the turbid streams of the valley. No soul can prosper without time to pray, to search the scriptures, and all should, as far as possible, have the privilege of attending public worship. All need to keep the oil of grace in their vessels with their lamps. Above all others, the workers who are thrown into the society of worldlings need to have Jesus held up before them, that they may behold the Lamb of God that taketh away the sin of the world. The godless element to which they are exposed makes it essential that personal labor should be bestowed upon them. Who could be closely related to these patients and hear them talk and breathe in the atmosphere that surrounds their souls without running some risk? Counteracting influences should always be exerted, lest, through the tempting allurements of Satan, the worldly element shall steal away hearts from God. Never let the worldly class be honored and great deference be paid to them above those who love God and are seeking to do His will. Those who, from whatever cause, are obliged to work on the Sabbath are always in peril. They feel the loss, and from doing works of necessity, they fall into the habit of doing things on the Sabbath that are not necessary. The sense of its sacredness is lost, and the holy commandment is of no effect. A special effort should be made to bring about a reform in regard to Sabbath observance. The workers in the sanitarium do not always do for themselves what is their privilege and duty. Often they feel so weary that they become demoralized. This should not be. No soul can be rich in grace only as it shall abide in the presence of God. God is the great proprietor of the sanitarium, of the Review and Herald Office, of the Pacific Press, of our colleges. In all these institutions, the managers must receive their directions from above. And wherever the temptations that come through association with the ungodly are strongest, there the greatest care must be exercised to place the workers in close connection with Christ and the influences proceeding from Him. His word must be our guide in all things, and if poverty comes because we abide by a plain, "Thus saith the Lord," we must still abide by it, even at the loss of all things else. Better have poverty in temporal things and abide in Christ and be nourished by His word, which is spirit and life. Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. The world may smile as we repeat this to them, but it is the word of the Son of God. He says, "Whoso eateth my flesh," the word that Christ speaks us, "hath eternal life, and I will raise him up at the last day." We cannot always be on our knees in prayer, but the way to the mercy seat is always open. While engaged in active labor, we may ask for help, and we are promised by one who will not deceive us, "Ye shall receive." The Christian can and will find time to pray. Daniel was a statesman. Heavy responsibilities rested upon him, yet 3 times a day he sought God, and the Lord gave him the Holy Spirit. So today, men may resort to the sacred pavilion of the Most High and feel the assurance of His promise, "My people shall dwell in a peaceful habitation, and in sure dwellings, and in quiet resting places." All who really desire it can find a place for communion with God, where no ear can hear but the one open to the cries of the helpless, distressed, and needy, the one who notices even the fall of the little sparrows. He says, "Ye are of more value than many sparrows."
If the rush of work is allowed to drive us from our purpose of seeking the Lord daily, we shall make the greatest mistakes. We shall incur losses, for the Lord is not with us. We have closed the door so that He cannot find access to our souls. But if we pray even when our hands are employed, the Savior's ear is open to our petitions. If we are determined not to be separated from the source of our strength, Jesus will be just as determined to be at our right hand to help us, but we may not be put to shame before our enemies. The grace of Christ can accomplish for us that which all our efforts fail to do. Those who love and fear God may be surrounded with a multitude of cares, and yet not falter or make crooked paths for their feet. God takes care of you in the place where it is your duty to be. But be sure, as often as possible, to go where prayer is wont to be made. The Saviour says, "Thou hast a few names, even in Sardis, that have not defiled their garments, and they shall walk with me in white, for they are worthy." These souls overcame by the blood of the Lamb and the word of their testimony. Amid the moral pollution that prevailed on every hand, they held fast their integrity. And why? They were partakers of the divine nature, and thus they escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. They became rich in faith, heirs to an inheritance of more value than the gold of Ophir. Only a life of constant dependence upon the Saviour is a life of holiness. 1890. The sanitarium is a place which affords ample opportunity to backslide from God, to let self have the supremacy, and thus separate the soul from Christ and the holy angels. Neither physicians nor helpers should attempt to perform their work without taking time to pray. 1879. Guard and guide those weak in the faith, lest they become connected with that class of Christians who consider getting together to have a happy time of amusement the joy of their life. These parties of pleasure prove in the end a curse. There is work to be done. Meet in select companies to pray. Your own souls need the fortification and strength of prayer, and other souls need it, that they may be kept from yielding to temptations. If your life is fed with the bread and water of life, you will have words to speak to others that will refresh them. God bids us to care for one another, to love one another. 1895.